Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of My Trends Are Small, I Know, But They're Not Yours. They are Zeit-owned, but they're not yours. They are Zeit-owned. TM, that's right. We own these fucking trends. Don't even try and talk about them yourself, because they are Zeit-owned. That short show title is courtesy of super producer Brian Jeffries. Huge Jewel fan. I did not know this. Was just saying before we started recording, but can't defend everything she does and says enough. Just a big fan. No, that's a joke. Apparently Jewel's in some hot water. It's not shocking.
But we don't
anyways, I am Jack, and I'm thrilled to be joined by super producer Becca Ramos.
Hello.
What's up?
Happy Friday. It is 50 degrees here in New York City. Go take a walk, or I hope that by the time this comes out, you have taken a walk outside while it was still sunny. It is so gorgeous. Please get some vitamin D, bring back your, or get away from your seasonal depression like me.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked. So warm
outside. New York on a day when it's warm and not supposed to be warm is the best New York, because the garbage hasn't had a chance to start cooking yet, so it still smells good.
You know, because I love smelling the garbage, you know, testing it out.
Right. Yeah, just give it a, ooh, that has a nice oaky urine finish.
The worst is garbage in the summer. That's obviously right. Objectively the worst, but it does always gross me out when the dog owners take their dogs to pee in the snow and you just see like yellow everywhere all the time.
Right.
Like you're walking and it's just like patches of yellow.
Peeing your own home, dog owners. New York is a lot of people all living on top of each other, which is what makes it great and also what makes it stinky every once in a while. But I do love New York. I think it's the best city in America. I don't know about the world because I haven't been to enough places, but Brooklyn's really a great place. And I've been to it for 3 days in the past 5 years, but I do love that place. And LA, not too bad either, but we give LA a lot of love out here. It's, I think, going to be like in the 90s this weekend. It's supposed to be one of the hottest Super Bowls of all time.
I mean, that's alarming when it's like February anywhere in this country, but yeah, because at least it's like still cold in New York. It's just not 8 degrees. But
I mean, as recently as a few days ago, it was cold here too. It was like in the 60s in the morning. So, yeah, let's start with the Super Bowl, which has come to LA, and it's not really a thing that I have noticed other than when we were down on Radio Row, bringing the NFL, America's number one NFL podcast. Yeah, it's because LA is a big city, I guess. You see the occasional blimp, but otherwise that's the only way that I've noticed it. The Rams. So I was like, is there anything we haven't talked about with the Super Bowl? And Becca, you and fellow super producer Brian were like, I don't think you've talked about who's playing.
Actually playing. We've talked about the ads. We've talked about the where. Ads, we've talked about Radio continue. Row.
Yeah.
But
apparently crypto ads are going to dominate. So look out for that.
I mean, isn't the Staples Center like being renamed to like crypto.com or whatever? Didn't we talk about
that? It has been renamed to crypto.com. And in fact, when I was walking up to Radio Row, talking to another producer who was on site, we were trying to figure out where we were coming. And I was like, oh, so we're like walking up to Staples on 12th. And he was like, okay, I don't know where Staples is, but I'm outside of crypto. And I was like, damn. Like,
it just changed.
Come on.
How do you not
know?
Come
on, Doug. That super producer, Doug, was just, is so all about the moment that he can't even remember that it was Staples Center for
many.
2 decades, fairly recently. But yeah, crypto ads are going to dominate. I don't know, man. I will like, I watched that 2.5 hour video explaining why crypto is just another capitalist market for the wealthy to get wealthier and the occasional lucky person to strike on like a get in on the ground floor every once in a while. But I'm still not really selling anything as far as I can tell. Like, I don't understand the value proposition, and I don't know, crypto bros, I know y'all love explaining shit. If there is a single video that you can just be like, here, this is the one where it explains why you're wrong about crypto, hit me. I'm more than willing to watch. Not 2.5 hours. You guys have 15 minutes to make your case.
Then that's generous, because
that is generous.
I would watch maybe a TikTok.
Right. Yeah.
That is the amount of patience I personally have for crypto. Please do not come at me. I don't want your articles or videos. I have enough men in my life that are trying to teach me, and I am declining left and right. So
yeah,
I've accepted. It's not
But
for
it
me.
Is the Cincinnati Bengals versus the LA Rams. This is the Super Bowl is happening in LA. That was chosen as a neutral site years ago, just as last year Tampa Bay was chosen as a neutral site for the Super Bowl. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made it to the Super Bowl last year and won it on their home field. The LA Rams, again, had just a coincidence 2 years in a row that one of the teams will be playing on their home field. Unfortunately, LA has not fully bought into the fact that they have an NFL team. They're just like, oh, yeah, no, good for you guys. Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
whereas Bengals fans, this is massive for, you know, people who are lifelong Bengals fans. So it does feel like it will be more like a home game for the Bengals than it will the Rams, which sucks for the Rams. They complain about it every time. They're like, we have to go to the silent count on our home field, because if we're playing a team that has a lot of, you know, rabid fans who are willing to travel. So anyways, I don't care who wins. I will be watching.
Will you be eating a good dip?
I will be probably not, because I'm kind of in charge of, I think we usually just order Domino's, and then sometimes I'll get
Domino's.
Some wings. But Domino's is like, I do feel like I need to order Domino's if I'm doing anything food related for the Super Bowl.
And that is the right choice. I mean, yeah. Never can go wrong with Domino's.
You know what? I think I am going to try a dip this year, because the one time I got ambitious and decided I'm going to make my own buffalo sauce, my own buffalo wings, I badly fucked up the buffalo wings. And this year, a dip might be more my speed. A dip where you just like combine 4 different cream of Campbell's soup into like some savory concoction, and then put cheese over the top. or pour rouse over the top of some goat cheese, as Daniel Van Kirk suggested on a recent episode of this show. I'm going to try something like that. How about you, Becca? What are you going to do?
You know, I was going to make it because me and luckily my partner famously does not also like football. So we were going to have our Valentine's date night, but we've been invited to a Super Bowl party. So I may show up in my extra self in my nice date night outfit with my heels on and go to a Super Bowl party like that. And they're just going to accept me as I come. So
yeah, there
we'll
you go.
See.
And you were saying that like this is Oscar night for the advertising industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they get that's cool. I mean, that's kind of the thing that I like the best about the Super Bowl is usually the ads. Not a hugely original observation there, but that's
well, when
kind
I
of the
worked
most
in
entertaining
advertising,
thing.
They would used to showcase like all the ads like that Monday after work. Like they would like have it on a TV screen and like have like the, I don't know if it was like a rerun of the Super Bowl or if it's just like a syndication of like all the ads put together that released during the Super Bowl, just like on all the TV. So you can just like appreciate all of the work that the industry put out there that day and give a big congratulations to all your friends and their different creative projects being like, we've been working on this all year and we got to work with blah, blah. So, you know,
right.
Go
yeah.
My friends. I know I probably have plenty of friends who are working on stuff. So sorry guys.
All right. Shout out to the advertising industry.
Woo!
All right. New York City is lifting its mask and vaccine mandate. Despite the CDC's like, we're not there yet, but okay, you guys seem to be set on what you want to do. So
I guess case numbers are dropping across like the country, but you know, I still don't feel like enough people are vaccinated. So to lift both the mask and the vax mandate to me is, as a New Yorker, pretty frustrating. And it's basically up to the business individually if they want to continue to have a mask or vax mandate. And then it is still required at like hospitals and state regulated healthcare facilities, which I'm like, if you recognize it's important in the healthcare, then why is it not important everywhere? I digress. And then it's also still required in schools, but is being reassessed in March, where I anticipate they're going to be lifting it, which is super frustrating, I think, for teachers who we are not out of cold and flu season. I think that's going to be really tough on them, especially after spring break when kids are pretty rowdy. So yeah, just stay safe out there. You know, I personally will be masked up and am vaccinated. So, you know, I feel good, but I just worry about many of the people who are a part of vulnerable communities that just, you know, they still need these mandates.
It'd be one thing if you could just be like, all right, I'm going to wear a mask. Nobody's going to say shit. Like, it'll just be personal preference. But this seems to, like, this new movement. Like, first of all, we've known from the start, like, this is how this thing works. Like, the scientific description of how this was going to go was the hammer and the dance, right? Like, sometimes there was going to be a lockdown when things got bad. I'll get vaccinated, have to, like, be masked or, you know, even have to stay inside. And then as the numbers went down, we would, like, come out and be, like, be able to drop some of these. I'm seeing a lot of anti-maskers be like, finally, people realize the truth. The vaccine is bullshit. And it was our right to not be vaccinated. And, like, masks or face diapers. Like, that seems to be, like, not just those people now declaring victory, but I'm starting to see, like, Bill Simmons, for instance, one of the more, the Joe Rogan of the sports world was, but like usually not that problematic, was on his show yesterday, was like, yeah, follow the science. Good luck with that. And it was like, what? And I know where he got that opinion. He's not like the most intellectually original person in the world. And like, I know a person who he follows who was like saying the same shit, who is like a crypto millionaire gambler guy. And it's, this doesn't mean that the science was wrong. This means that this is the stage of dealing with a pandemic. And it seems like maybe they're being a little aggressive because America is full of so many babies that just don't want to do it. It feels like they might be taking the masks off and turning on the vaccine a little early.
Yeah.
But, you know, remains to be seen.
It just frustrates me more that when tourists come, they won't have these regulations, right? That's my fear. They're taking this down here in February. March is coming up. Spring break is coming up. People are going to travel. Not that like New York is the number one spring break destination, but it is, it, you know, it has a big tourism population, period. So that is more my worry than it is New Yorkers, that it is, you know, the people coming in that are like, oh my God, New York is no longer being super strict. It's like, I don't have to feel like some type of way coming to New York now. I want to go do my fun tour stuff, but I'm not vaccinated. So we'll see.
But yeah, the thing that is awful is your example of school is a really good one. It's the kids may be okay because this disease appears to not affect them as much as older people, but they are very germy and great at spreading it to teachers, and that sucks. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about Love is Blind.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
basically everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and I think Russia's about to invade Ukraine or something. I think we're maybe at war by the time you hear this.
Yeah.
And that's not good, but what is good is that, no, I don't feel like I am the person to break down the situation in Ukraine, really,
yeah,
personally.
And I agree, I'm not. I am also not the person to break down the situation. But yeah, I've heard murmurings about, you know, things going on with Russia for a while. I don't feel super equipped to talk about it in depth, but, you know, it is scary. And that's kind of all I want to say is that we are heading into World War III probably. And, you know, I'm not looking forward to it.
Miles will be back soon and is much smarter than me, and I will ask him what he thinks about it. So Love is Blind. Let's talk Love is Blind.
Yes.
This is a reality show I had mostly forgot about, but I did, like, once we started talking about it, I was like, oh yeah, I watched like the first half of this season and I did get invested in the show. I remember being like, it's tough because the men are so bland.
Were so bland. They were so below average.
Right. So this is the show where you meet the person as a silhouette in a weird booth where you just like kind of talk to one another, and then you fall in love with them without having seen them. And then you get to see one another, and we see how the couples work out. And it, I don't know. There were definitely some characters that were memorable. There was, for instance, one woman who, the moment she saw the guy she picked, she was like, oh, I chose wrong.
Jessica. She was Jessica. Made the villain, but redeemed herself in the reunion, I think.
Because the guy who she picked had then like treated her badly, right? Like he was then turned into a villain, kind of.
Yeah, basically he got pregnant with somebody, I think either while they had tried again or just like immediately after the show. Like definitely just there was like some schemey behavior of him kind of potentially dating multiple people at once and then getting, you know, somebody pregnant and then choosing them and having a family with them. And, you know, congrats. Glad that they're happy and that they have a healthy child. But was some messy dating.
Right.
I loved the show when it came out, February 2020. It was right pre-pandemic. It was a perfect messy time. I'm very excited for this season two. I have no idea who the cast is, but I loved the premise that it was just such a bizarre, like, yeah, we're going to do this experiment, and not just like in a reality TV way experiment, but like they truly did this like 2 years ago. I don't know if that's the case for this season two, but like when season one came out in 2020, all of this had been filmed in 2018. And the goal was that by the reunion, these people had been together for like 2 years. So they could actually test the experiment out if like dating somebody without ever seeing what they looked like and having to get to know them and, you know, build off their personality, would it work? But of course, in the reality dating bubble, all of that dating happens in like 3 weeks and they get married in 6 weeks and then they have 2 years to
just
see.
Just like it is in real life.
Yeah, you know.
I remember this seems like a different universe, but this wasn't this like one of Netflix's first reality shows, and so it felt like, oh, but the way Netflix, because they're prestige, they did this like different than reality TV. They like waited 2 years and stuff, which I feel like since then we're no longer under any impression that Netflix is like prestige TV, right?
No, especially not prestige reality TV. Like it definitely feels, you know, I mean, it looks crisper, I guess, than like The Bachelor, but it is in the same like raunchy, stupid vein. And I feel like they've built their own little like Netflix cinematic reality TV universe where like a lot of their reality TV shows overlap. Like the Too Hot to Handle came out similar timeline as Love is Blind, and a lot of that cast has overlapped with this cast.
Or, how did they overlap? Which,
like, one of the girls, oh my goodness, what is her name? She was very controversial on Too Hot to Handle. Mm-hmm. She then became very controversial to the cast of Love is Blind because she got in the way of Janina and Damien's relationship, Francesca.
Janina and Damien were the couple that I was most like, oh, she's very pretty and an interesting person, and I'm, why with this guy? Like,
yeah, Damien,
he seemed very like bland. It just seemed,
also he had such an ego. I'm like, you look like that and you have that big of an ego, like take a step back. But he started being like associated with Francesca from Too Hot to Handle, who was like her own very like, I don't know, she was like one of the stars, I feel like, of that show, like one of the number one people that were like, oh my god, is she problematic or do we love her? And then it became this whole storyline between them, like this like love triangle that like Janina, like Damien walked out of her on the wedding day, but then they were still trying 2 years later to date. And it's like, girl, get out of there. He is not worth the trouble. And then he started being seen with Francesca, and it was like, then she popped up at the reunion and you're like, what is this crossover? Why is she here? And then one of the other popular people I'm Too Hot to Handle was in The Circle. So like they're also building this world where they can recycle like their favorite reality TV stars that they've built and put them in other, you know, it's smart.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
They figured it out pretty quickly. Yeah. Sounds like. Are Damien and Giannina like, did
still
they
together?
Yeah.
I don't think so, because she kind of like, after the reunion got dropped in the summer, like this past summer, 2021. And then she started going viral on TikTok, probably because she was like the definition of like it girl TikTok, like very like aspirational, like get ready with me, beautiful, you know, living her best life. And it was very much like alluded that they had broken up. It says on this Us Weekly article that Entertainment Television says that they officially split earlier the year. A lot to process, and it was a very long breakup. I've never been one to just not peel off the band-aid, so this was new. It was just that trust wasn't really there anymore, and probably
because he left you
Francesca
at the altar.
Yeah, many things. I'm like, he is not worth it. Like, never like was any of his drama worth. Like, he was not hot enough. He was not interesting enough. He was not like anything enough to be worth all the drama he put her through. I was like, oh, no.
And then there was the like hot jock who played the acoustic
Barnett,
right?
Yeah,
and then
you had Barnett and Amber. They were like probably the problematic fave of most people because she was like so crazy and he was so like, and everyone loved him because he was like a very mediocre, like handsome white dude, like just like you could find him anywhere.
Yeah,
but they make great reality TV, like because they were like the perfect reality TV couple.
And that's who the woman who didn't like her pairing, that's who she was immediately like. But like Barnett, on the other hand, it was like,
Jessica was
this
like,
is...
Barnett. And that's why her and Amber were like beefing. Even at the reunion where Jessica got her redemption, because people were like very anti-Jessica because of all that in the season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But by the reunion, people were like, you know what? She like left the show. She went and moved on. She like lived her best life. She got a boyfriend, I think. And people were like happy for her. They're like, you know what? We villainized her and we shouldn't have. And then Amber came in there being like, and it's like, girl, you married him and you've been married to him for like 2 years. Like, she has a boyfriend now. Like, she is not worried about you. Let it go.
Yeah.
But I think everyone's favorite couple, like the it couple from the show, Lauren and Cam, they are still together. He was the only hot man on the show. There were no other ones. They were like family planning. I think they were like, they were doing the damn thing and they were trying to get pregnant. Last time we checked in on them. So, and they celebrated 3 years of marriage, November 2021.
And they were cool. Like,
they were the only one that it worked.
He was like a unique person. Like, he seemed like a person and not a, not just a reality TV cutout. Interesting. All right. Well, now I'm caught up and I'm ready for season two of Love is Blind.
I'm excited.
I'm also ready for these Disney 2022 wedding. Actually, you know what? we're gonna use that as a teaser. All right, Zeitgang. Monday's trending episode, you get to hear about the latest wedding fashions being dropped by Disney. Disney's got wedding dresses. So you can look forward to that. And that is going to do it for this week. Miles is back on Monday. Becca, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me and follow me at Bex Ramos, BeccsRamos, on all platforms.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. That's going to do it for us this week. Back Monday, whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Wear a mask, I guess, if you want to. Don't do nothing about white supremacy, and we'll talk to y'all on Monday. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.